Hello and welcome back. It's In The Know, brought to you by the Racing Post. And it was a little weird, wasn't it, on a Thursday night? But we're back in our normal slot on a Friday night. After seeing a cracking card at Cheltenham today, we'll continue with more of the same tomorrow. And a proper Cheltenham 2.5 mile handicap chase. It's the December Gold Cup. You know what to expect. We'll probably have the very similar horses that you were backing in these races all over the past 12 months or so. But there's never a dull 2.5 mile handicap round Cheltenham, that's for sure. Hopefully we can find a nice winner as well. We might see a nice 3 mile novice hurdler as well in the Albert Bartlett trial to a certain extent, albeit actually backing the winner of the Albert Bartlett in March is akin to closing your eyes and throwing a pin into the paper. We might see a juvenile in the opener, and we'll also be having a look at a few from Doncaster too. But what did you like about today, and what do you like about tomorrow? Like, subscribe, get involved on the chat. We had a nice price winner that a lot of people fancied here last night. The guys on the chat as well have also had some decent returns by the looks of things, so there's a lot of thanking Keith for the Mags Mullins horse winning today, but you also have to thank Robbie.
Yeah,
and
I you should thank me completely because I told Keith to tip this horse.
Did you really?
It wasn't even on Keith's radar.
That
is like a complete stitch up, but
classic.
I'm hearing all this in the office. I'm unbelievable from Keith. Well, wasn't his radar till the postman got in his inbox.
Well, Mr. Wilders, I mean, you know, and in his column, the hot list. I wonder who came up with the hot list. For the flat pack from years ago.
Exactly.
This
is Melrose. A complete plagiarism from Keith Melrose.
What is this chap all about? Anyway, we also had the man to my left, Mr. Paul Keeley, tipping it in the paper as well. So maybe.
Yeah, I'm going to put my hand up now because I was out all day yesterday and I wrote my tipping piece the night before. So there you go.
Yeah.
I was first. They all read mine because it goes into the system. You lot.
Well, I put the bet on two nights before, mate, and I hadn't seen your piece.
Yeah, he's the anti-poster.
I was in the William Hill.
What do you mean you hadn't about seen 6 o'clock? You're supposed to read paper every day, mate. You work.
Oh no, when you'd written it, I hadn't seen it, but I had seen it after.
Well, you thought, yeah. Did you put it on anti-post?
Let's stop stroking each other.
I put up anti-post for the. Yeah, who cares?
Get on with it.
I mean, let's bear in mind. I also tipped Mr. Coffee, pal.
That is true. We need to talk about this.
Yeah,
Keels. I don't know if you know, but look, everyone. Everyone has a moment where they think Mr. Coffee's a good bet, don't they? And Robbie had his last night.
I know, but I'm not going to have a go at him for that because I keep backing Bustles and he's absolutely useless in the same race league.
Yeah, we've all got him. Maybe we should just stop.
He turned out 5-6 in the end.
I did, yeah. Yeah, I did. 5-6 to finish in the five, I thought was an absolute certainty.
Yeah. Sorry, but I mean, that's the worst. He normally does run his rate. He didn't this time.
He didn't.
Who could have seen that coming?
Well, he maybe watched the show last night. I don't know. But anyway, hello to Paul Stokes, to Liam Dunn, to Johnny Schofield, to Tom Leach, to Josh, to Tommy Daniels, to Cheltenham Master, to Scotty Rudds, to Wally Barnard, to George Murray, and many, many more. Titan Discovery was a good selection of quite a few people on the chat as well.
Wally Barnard is the new trainee at the Racing Post, right?
Yeah.
And he's asked, could you please ask Robbie who the quickest member of staff is at the Post?
Quickest in what way?
Well, in sprinting.
Right, okay.
Let me tell you that, mate. This kid's rapid. Because we had a race off for Christmas party, 60 metres out in Liverpool Street, and he left me for dead after 10 metres.
Right, and
so
what?
He was just gloating, saying he's really quick. I was like, well, let's put it to the test.
Did you do an alcohol test? Was he over the limit?
I think thinking the breathalyzer wouldn't look good for
him. Would have passed the breathalyzer, no.
But he's rapid, so shout out to Ollie.
All right, who was the, what else did we like from today? anything? I mean, the Henderson horse in the first looks a bit of a tall.
Very good, that didn't it? Yeah. I wasn't expecting the race to be won quite like that. A little bit worried that maybe Kings and Queen hasn't run a race, but I mean, just looked very, very good. Can't complain, can you?
No, absolutely not.
And 6 mile bridge looked pretty good as well, didn't he? He's learnt from the last time. He jumped better. Yeah.
Well, funnily, we were talking about that race last night, saying, oh, it was a bit suspicious. And the two horses ran out today, and they both won. Oh. Gamester's guy won the match at Doncaster as well. Oh. So.
Related double opportunity missed.
Yeah, there you go. What about to tomorrow? What do you like tomorrow? Put your selections in caps in the chat, and we'll get to those very shortly. But it is the 12th of the 12th, so we're not too far away from 12th night, are we? And we'll be on the countdown to Christmas, and we'll be here for your festive feast. So at 8 a.m. on Christmas Eve, you can tune into our. Our Christmas preview. Look at that. Me, Robbie, Rodders and Keels.
I mean, Keels has got his upper case back as well.
He's got his upper case back. We've sorted his name
out. Live at 8 a.m.
Yeah, we're live at 8 a.m. Do you not know? Oh.
Yeah. You like an early start, don't you?
Disaster.
We're pre-recording it.
Oh, are we?
Keels the day.
Why did you say live at 8 a.m. on early?
Well, because. Well, no, we're not going to think we're at Christmas Eve, well, 8 a.m. in the studio.
That's when it's going to get published. We'll record it in midday on the 23rd. As long as you're in about 10-2, you'll be fine.
Oh, okay, well, yeah. We're putting people away. We're saying live. We're false advertising.
It'll be put out live at 8 a.m. Honestly, it is. Welcome back, Keels. Lovely to have Keels back on the show. Can't wait to have him, Robbie, and Rodders in the same room. Wow. To preview the Christmas racing. And Josh says, has Tom been sacked from the show? Yes, it's about time, too. We got rid of that seagull character.
Too miserable, wasn't he?
He won't come in.
He's so miserable, he can't even be bothered to take holidays and basically had to be forced to use him up. Yeah. That's why he's not here.
Yeah. He's still going to, for the record, he's still going to lose about 15 to 20 days this year because he literally can't use them all up.
Well, I mean, but where does he go?
He didn't leave his gaff, does he?
He does leave his gaff.
I hear he walks his dog every now and then. That's about it.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, look, he'll be back when he's back from his enforced holiday. He's got all the elves to round up anyway, hasn't he? Anyway, let's crack on to Saturday's racing, shall we? Command John to finish the John double, says Sam, for tomorrow. Command John will be coming up later on the car. But Cheltenham's 115 is a mare's handicap chase. 2.5 miles the distance, the one we dream of, and she is for me, boys. A 5-1 joints here. Rialto Liath is 13-2. Mi Wee Bonnie Lass, Keith, is 7-1. Party Vibes, 8s. It's Easy, 9s. Greyvale, 10s, and 12-1, bar those. The worst named horse in this race is probably number 14 because it certainly is not easy. 16 runners. Over the course and distance of the December Gold Cup. So we've got a couple of absolute crackerjack handicap chasers in here. And I went through this race and started to go a bit mad by the end of it, Keels.
Yeah, absolutely. It was really, really hard.
Yeah.
And when it's really, really hard, I tend to graduate towards the bigger prices. And you can make cases for loads at the front. I thought the one we dream of was probably the one to beat because she seems to be improving since joining Dan Skelton. But I've backed two at big prices. One's Georgie Girl, who I've got a bit of a history with, but she does run this course really well. She hasn't won here, but she's run well here 3 times. She was fifth off a £5 higher mark over hurdles to Wadhoo at this meeting last year, and she was third in a Grade 3 handicap chase in April. She sometimes has her own way of jumping, but she goes well here, and I think the more the ground dries out, the more it'll suit her as well.
Okay.
So I think she'll run well. And the other one is Ostrava du Burley. Now, I know we're waiting for Venetia Williams to... Yeah. Burst into life, and it just hasn't really been happening. But Lompress ran a blinder, didn't he?
Yep.
Ran an awful lot better than I expected him to be fair. And I thought she ran really well on her return at Carlisle. And she's got some, she's got some form. She was £6 higher at one point last year. She also won on a second start last year, a second and third start last year. So, her best form early season. So yeah, I think anything can win this, really. Mm-hmm. I've had a couple of go at a couple of rags.
One from the top, Georgie Girl, number 2. One from the bottom, Ostrava du Burley, then. In number 16 there for Hobbs and White and Venetia Williams. Yeah, they're about 18s and 22s, I think, Robbie. So tasty prices from Mr. Keeley.
We should say as well, from memory, didn't you tip the 22-ton win of this race last year, Kills?
Did I?
Game on for glory.
Oh,
that ring a bell?
Didn't I? Yeah.
I know your memory's not what it used to be.
Yeah.
No, you did, mate. I remember.
Not what it used to be.
Although I log all your selections.
Well, it used to be. You know why I was out yesterday, don't you? I was out yesterday because I was at a golf day and I turned up to find out that the golf day was last Thursday.
Oh, my word.
That's where I am in
not
life.
Not only does this man forget to price-wise extra too often, he's also forgetting his days out.
That's where I am in life at the moment.
I mean, to be fair, I did the same thing. I went to the train station yesterday, got the thing in, and went, hey, my ticket's not working. And he went, you're a bit early, mate. And I went, oh, it's in 15 minutes. He went, oh, it's next for next week.
Oh,
so,
frustrating, isn't
didn't
it?
Didn't need to be like that to me, though, did you? Didn't
being rude for no reason.
Didn't need to say that.
We're getting old, aren't we?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah,
nasty, absolutely. Quite a nasty gentleman.
What do you like in this?
I absolutely hated this race. It's spent too long and I didn't like any of them. Yeah. The one thing I thought would happen was probably the Jamie Stone horse would be in the play spot sort of thing, just because she's won 4 out of 5, including point to point. She's been brought along steadily. Beat the third Evan Williams horse, who's come out and won 40 lengths next time.
Yeah,
she's not gone up that much.
She jumped really well at Kempton as well, didn't she? So.
Yeah, I mean, that form could be all right. I mean, I guess, how literally can you take that next time out form? Because I love the nightlife was so poor. Like, I mean, you could almost see why people are looking at It's Easy, because you don't often see 40 length winners only got £7.
Yeah.
But I just don't
know. Yeah,
have
but that's complete. I mean, it was
different ground.
The conditions were shocking.
Yeah, exactly. You can't take it literally.
No.
The finish was all so, like, so slow as well.
Yeah. I don't think that form's particularly reliable. I mean, the one, it's funny you mentioned, I love the nightlife, I thought it was quite interesting. It ran three times in heavy ground, pulled up last, and second, beating 40 lengths at Bangor.
Mm. Never going to like it.
First time blinkers, though.
Yeah.
7 years old, so still a bit of progress to come. Joe Tizard, first time blinkers, 5 from 24. Handicap Chasers, first time blinkers, 5 from 18.
Okay.
28% strike rate, 1.69 actual versus expected.
Nice.
And he's had one runner in first time blinkers at Cheltenham, and that was in the National Hunt Chase, Rock My Way, finished second at huge odds.
Right.
In the spring. So if you take that Bangor form, if you ignore that Bangor form, which you clearly can, why is this horse 25-1? Also the second in the race last year.
I will say as well, good job Bell went to go and get your notepad.
Yeah, this is what I mean. I had stats in here.
We're not hearing stats like this, are we?
So appreciate
but two, only about. 2 weeks off the running in heavy ground, finishing tired. That's probably a bit of a concern to me. But you make a nice case, my friend.
It is. Yeah, I get that. But I'd rather back her than the one that, you know, beat her. If you know what I mean.
It's a race to take a big chance in, isn't it? That's why I'm not really recommending the Snow North. I just thought she was the one that I'd be most confident that she's going to finish like in the shake-up.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Let's have a look. Everyone thinks it's quite tough. Sam thinks this is just scrap all Myers races. I mean, you say that, but we've got a 16 runner.
I love handicaps with loads of pills on. I don't care what sex they are. I mean, it's a fascinating race, and it's really hard to get. It's a really difficult puzzle. I mean, it's not one I'm going to be going in and having a proper bet in, like, you know, a serious bet in. But I'll have a couple for a bit of fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Why not?
We're not sexist on this show. Yeah,
absolutely.
Let's make that clear.
Absolutely. Everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome. As long as they like racing. Obviously.
Even though we're all mainly white fellas that come on this show.
Yeah, true.
But, well, apart from when Maddie comes on.
Yeah, apart from that. But, you know, we still, in theory. Anyway, moving on to the next at Cheltenham, the 150 at Cheltenham. The big race of the weekend, the December Gold Cup, of course, named for the sport in the John Hunt Family Fund as well, which again, incredible. We've got the silent auction that they will be auctioning off loads of fantastic prizes to raise money for the Hunt Family Fund. It's a fantastic way of taking a big Saturday race, and instead of having a sponsor plastering their name all over it, we get to raise some good money for a fantastic cause. So make sure you look up that auction. And I think it's great. I think it's fantastic, and hopefully we get the race to match the cause as well, because it could be a bit of a blinder. Jaguar is 7-2, Vincenzo is 9-2, Kim Rock is 11-2, Ho Jolie Smoke is 6-1, Colonel Harry is 10s with Imperial Saint, Il Redotto is 11-1, Martator is 12-1, and bigger the rest. We've also got old favourites like Gar Law in there, Es Perfecto, who was placed in a novice handicap earlier in the season despite being 10 years old, and Glenn Gooley for Faye Bramley. A yard which Paul Keely's determined to back them blind until he gets a big prize winner. And then no ordinary
I'm going to have one tomorrow, but it won't be that one.
Yeah, we'll circle back to
what
that.
What a teaser!
We'll circle back to that at the end. This is a quintessential Cheltenham race, Robbie, and Jaguar. We were due to see him a month ago, but I think conditions will be better for him here.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, to be fair, he's done it on a range of surfaces. I think he could have still run fine though, if they went last time. But they're obviously thinking about not having too hard a race first time out. He's a very fair price considering, you know, he's something like 20-1 for the Ryanair Chase. And if he is a Ryanair horse, he'd have to improve. Well, you need to probably about £20 potentially.
Yeah.
So
we've seen it before from this race as well, though. It's that,
yeah,
you
exactly.
can it's, take that springboard.
It is a stepping stone. I think he's. His price is actually fair because these races normally, historically, there'd be more like 18 runners, but we're only going to get 10, 11 runners. I imagine the one on New Year's Day is only going to be like 7 or 8. They're not great fields until you get to Cheltenham. So I think there's value in backing horses like them now at those sort of prices. But the one I've been harping on about for 2 or 3 weeks is Kim Rock, Joseph O'Brien. 4 places, you're not getting that now. But Yeah, it's just interesting. He historically, like I said, these races are weak and they used to. He wouldn't have got into a race like this, but he's a novice who's only run once for O'Brien. He ran really well in a novice handicap behind Caddo St. Frey at the November meeting. That also come out and run well since. Kim Rock, he jumped well, but he got the last all wrong and then lost his momentum and then rallied in quite nicely, I thought. So I think O'Brien looked at this and thought, there's some decent prize money here. He sent Bambridge over to win some prize money at these early season meetings before. He's just off such a low weight and he's so unexposed. We know where we stand with a lot of these. So
yep.
I think there's only two horses that can win this quite easily, and it's Jaguar or Kim Rock.
All right. Jaguar 7-2. Kim Rock, who's had a sight around the track last time out, and comes back 27 days later for Joseph O'Brien, is in at 11-2. Plenty of other horses we've backed before. And I got a feeling in my tummy, Keels, and that feeling told me it was time for whole Jolly Smoke to get his head in front.
Not for me, no. I just wonder whether... See, I think he wants a bit further.
Okay.
And I just think that a lot drier ground than last time is not going to play so much to his strength as it will Vincenzo, who finished ahead of him anyway.
Yeah.
I haven't neither tipped nor backed Vincenzo, but I think he's very solid. He just never runs a bad race, does he? And, you know, and pretty much every bit of form he's got works out.
I mean, I haven't seen a Sam Thomas horse run badly for weeks.
No. They do just, you know, he's a cracking trainer, obviously, very good strike rate, clearly knows what he's doing. I do, you know, I'm sort of in agreement with Robbie, though. We're singing from the same song sheet, really. I think if there's one horse with the potential to blow the race away, it is Jaguar.
Yeah.
I'm taking it as a positive that they thought the horse himself was more important than an iconic race like the Paddy Power. They didn't want to overdo it. They didn't want to, you know, mess him around in there, because they obviously think extremely highly of him. The yard at the time wasn't going particularly well, but they have had a couple of winners and 3 seconds in the last fortnight, so it's heading back in the right direction. And you see him pricking his ears after last when he won the plate. Like, you know, he had plenty in hand.
Yeah.
I think he might end up winning 3 mile in time. But he's certainly not short of pace, and he really finishes strongly up that hill, doesn't he? We've seen him do it twice already. So he's the one to beat. And I did back Kim Rock last time, and he made two mistakes. Otherwise, he jumped really low and accurate, and you know, you thought to yourself, this has got a good race in him. This is a hell of a lot better race than that novice chase, though. That was the only thing that sort of linged me towards Jaguar. I think. Ground won't be soft enough for Colonel Harry.
Imperial Saints, any chance?
I don't know, he's just become disappointing to me. Yeah. Like, you know, I thought he was going to be a lot better than he was.
I watched him when he ran at Cheltenham back in January as well, and he just looked a bit, he ran on late, but he just looked, he looked a little bit awkward. He was hanging a bit, his head was cocked, and then he kind of ran on again. I don't know, I wonder whether he's peaked.
Yeah, he could have done. Now, Il Redotto's got a chance, I think. I mean, he's got plenty of form on soft ground, but I think slightly better ground suits him. And for Venetia Williams, Martyr Tour was half interested.
Yeah.
Because I think he showed last time at Ascot that he really, really does want to go further than 2 mile now.
He was a big eye catcher.
But it's just, all his form seems to be at Ascot, doesn't it? Which is your worry.
Yeah.
But I think ground's coming in this favour as well. I can see them running well, but I think, you know, at the end of the day, I think Jaguars could just blow him out of the water. I left it alone from tipping point of view. I did tip Jaguar when he was 9-2 in the weekender. But I've left the race alone for tomorrow.
They are running better, but they're still not. I'm still slightly still not, concerned.
You've still got that little query, haven't you?
Yeah.
But I think he's the one horse that's potentially, you know, potentially a graded horse.
Yeah.
In the race.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, the whole Jolly Smoke angle depends a lot, I think, on. I mean, first off, Harry Skelton's back in the saddle.
Yeah.
But again, that 3-card Bragg form is bomb proof. I mean, 3-card Bragg and Panic Attack have won the last two races. I mean, they finished 1-2 at Newbury in that really good race. And he was given too much to do last time out, Whole Jolly Smoke. So the key is, it's one of those, I mean, it's like what we were saying last night about handicap chasers.
Prominent racers.
But if Harry puts him in the first 3, 4, 5 from the get go, the way he finishes up the hill, he's got a huge chance. And when he won at. When he won at Sandown this time last year, he was ridden a lot more prominently. So, but it's one of those ones that I want to back him, but I don't want to back him until I see where he starts the race.
He's been held up in his last 5 starts.
That's why you can bet him on it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, the Skeltons will be all too aware of that angle, and
you think
they've
only
got one horse. Be positive. You know he stays further. It makes no sense to hold him up out the back. Maybe they'll change tack.
I mean, I hope they do, because I do think he's got a huge chance if they do.
They certainly should.
On the chat, I'm surprised Colonel Harry isn't shorter odds after winning the Grand Sefton. And Borat, is that in this race? No, that's in a later race. He's going to play San Juanito, he says. And Darren Ewan's gone for Jaguar. Went for it at the plate last year's festival and had a nice winner. So you are playing with winnings there. And Kim Rock for Mitchell Smith as well. And Brian Galt says, a lovely little stat from the stat man. Brian Galt says, Pokalan is the only favourite to win it in the last 28 years.
Wowee.
There you go.
Congratulations.
I would never not back a horse based on a stat like that, though.
It's the favourite stats, yeah.
One of those things, you know.
I don't like the ones where it's like, oh, the last 10 winners have been weighted between these parameters.
Yeah.
Don't like that at all.
But didn't it? But
I know you said it last week, I didn't really like that one. I know I was impressed by one.
Twig was, well, he was at least a pound away. He was very, very
close. It was like between 137 and 141 or something. Yeah. Not relevant, mate.
Yeah. No, I agree. Some of them are just
coincidental.
Well, when I'm going through them, it basically my criteria is, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean sure, I'm going to follow it.
You're just trying to add a bit of colour to the show, mate.
Exactly.
And we're all for that.
It's like when you know, lighting in a room or something. You know, you don't realise it's important until you haven't got enough lights.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, we appreciate what you're doing.
Just, oh, thanks, mate. Appreciate what you're doing too. So there you go. Lovely stuff. What were we talking about? Yeah, right, let's go to Doncaster for a 3-mile handicap chase at 2:05. The Pennine handicap chase. It's going to be a lot longer than 3 miles, isn't it? Doc Pickme is 2-1. Prince Zaltar is 130. Alcedo is 4-1. Hurricane Bay 7-1. Joyeux Machin is 8-1. Ile de Jersey 9s. Earn River is 18-1. Outsider of the bunch. This is the type of race we need a Keith Melrose. But he was also banging on about the Alcedo form to me the other day.
Yeah, he was
stepping up in trip, but that looks a good race.
Yeah.
What do we make of? You talk about yards that are struggling to find winners. What do you make of the horses who actually win in those fallow periods? Does that mean are they
better? I mean, I don't know, do we? I mean, J-Lo must be an absolute superstar because he's done it twice.
Yeah, he's going to win the right now. 20 lengths, yeah. Right?
Well, King George might win the King George.
I think he will.
He ought to. I hope he goes there.
Yeah.
No, he will, yeah. But definitely.
And same combination for Alcedo. But again, I always think, like, you know, Heaven to Bromhead.
Not again.
Those type of
I'm not talking about this fella again.
Gavin Cromwell had a winner today.
Oh, stop it.
Exactly. So, but the horses that pop up, you think, oh, you know, 30 runners, no winners, and then one pops up. Does that mean that you're really
someone was saying in one of the internal chats the other day, saying, you know, we all talk about trainer form, but how much of it is just they're out of form, but how much of it is by design? Like, you know, they want their horses ready at a certain time and not necessarily now. Like, you know, it's very difficult.
Part of the mystery.
Yeah. Well, some of it is just look as well. Like, again, I mean, if Venetia lives in or trains in, you know, deepest Herefordshire, the reason her horses like soft ground is because it just rains a lot there.
Sure,
hasn't rained at all, so obviously they're probably not being trained. She's probably not training them as much at home.
Mm.
I remember asking her once, we went to do a stable tour, and someone said about soft ground. She went, "Oh, my horses don't run better on soft ground. I just don't run them on fast ground." So of course my horses run well on soft ground because I don't have any runners on fast ground.
Yeah.
So she's probably not training them as hard.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah.
If you've not got the right conditions. But anyway, Alcedo, any chance up in trip?
It's got a chance. Yeah. I thought it's quick enough turnaround after a hard race at Newcastle. I thought Prince Zaltar for me. It's interesting. He's going back over. I think both Skelton chasers they're sending back over are quite interesting. Prince Zaltar for me with Tristan. That horse Kikijo bumped into last, this is like a very well handicapped horse that day, has come out and pulled miles clear with a horse I liked on the show last week, the Martin Keithley horse, Sandown. Quite like that form. He's on a realistic chase mark. It's the sort of prize I could have seen Skelton having half an eye on. It's quite a decent pot in this sort of trainer's title tussle. And he's just sort of improved since joining the stable. He's a very exposed horse, but you know he's hard fit, you know. He's going to be primed, and a lot of these, you know, they're the more longer term in the season sort of projects. So I think he'll give me there or thereabouts for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's 26 grand to the winner. This, it's it's a good number, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's run well all three times. The second run that I was on him that day. He was very, very weak in the market, and then stayed on quite eye catching now for it. And he's obviously improved on that November meeting. So just looks like he's primed to run well.
And at the moment, I mean, all the skeleton, but Tristan Durrell is in that prime position of just mopping up all the rides where, you know, Harry's got to go to this meeting, but all the skeleton horses are running so well that he's getting peachy rides at the second meeting.
One second best job in racing at the moment.
Absolutely, yeah. Keels, what did you think of this?
I actually thought at the prices, Hurricane Bay was pretty much of a standout. I mean, it was 10 earlier on. You can still get 8 in places, and there are a few firms, including a couple that are going 8s, offering 3 places, which I thought was really, really good value for him. He's run over hurdles at this track, finished 1-3-1 or 1-1-3, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And he ran a blinder behind Moon Rocket here last time. It was only a 4-runner race, but he pulled clear with a winner, only got tired after the last, basically. Looked like it was needed. Just goes really, 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 really well at this track. I think he's got a good chance on handicap figures as well. I'll be surprised if he's out in the first 3 and you can get a few bookies are offering you that.
Yeah, they are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them on my screen. So, yeah, there you go. Yeah, he's proper course horse, isn't he, Hurricane Bay? And he's got the right run style again.
I mean, you know, the horse that beat him last time, he was beaten 13 lengths, but the horse beat him last time was placed in 2 Grade 2 novice hurdles last season.
Yep.
Including one at this track as well.
I mean, he was beaten today in a 2-runner race, but I don't think that's necessarily indicative of form.
No, absolutely no. No. So I think, I think he's got a good chance.
All right. Hurricane Bay then is
Doc Pickney's obviously the one to beat. He was only just touched off in this race last year and he ran well in the rehearsal, didn't he? So, you know, he's probably the one to beat. But, I mean, would you want to back anything at 2-1? I think it's quite a tight-knit race.
Yeah.
Wouldn't want to bet anything at 2-1, to be honest.
No, fair enough. Doc Pickney 2-1 then for that. But Prince Zoltar for Mr. Wilders and Hurricane Bay for Mr. Keeley. Doc Pickney should make all, says Tom Leach. Hurricane Bay for Rod Panhard. Earn River for Liam. Let's have a look. What else have we got? Borat doesn't like Doncaster as a place, and that's why he moved
to Kazakhstan.
Hey, Astana.
Perfect. Right, let's crack on, shall we? To the next contest over at Cheltenham. We've got another handicap chase on the agenda, this time over 2 miles. And David, how is he? He's well. He's 5-2 favourite. Accelero is 130. Country Mile 5-1. JPR 1, 5-1. Triple Trade 15-2. Gunsight Ridge 8. Sam Brie is 25s. Dr. TJ Eckelberg is 33-1. And Joe Kudamai is the outsider of the bunch. And hold on to your hats because it's a 2-mile handicap chase round Cheltenham. And assuming that they all get off on terms, which again is about a 50-50 shot in these kind of races, it's going to be fast and fairly furious. Triple Trade loves it round here. David's well absolutely bolted up at Haydock last time out. Accelero comes into it in good nick. JPR 1's offer a nice mark. Country Mile, do you want another stat?
Yeah, pull it out. You told me it earlier. It's your big moment, mate.
It's drum roll, please. Thank you. What was that? What was that bit? You didn't need that bit.
Bit of colour. Yeah, it's a bit of colour.
Is that a symbol?
Yeah. I don't know what it was.
That's good. Yeah. All right, fair enough. Chase debutants, handicap chase debutants, after running in class 1 or 2, beginners or novices last time out, are 10 from 42, 24% strike rate. If they finish in the first 3 last time out, they're 7 from 18. And there's been 3 qualifiers in 2025, and every single one of them has won. But Country Mile, I looked at the stats because I thought, I wonder what a horse with this profile does on a handicap debut. But I think, he's raw, he's unexposed, he looks fairly clueless, he made a shuddering error at a crucial point later on last time out. However, it's amazing what a handicap mark will do for jumping ability, Keels.
It can do sometimes, but slightly faster ground as well. I always like your horses that can't jump during the summer. Suddenly you get a bit of dry ground and then they bolt up at Cheltenham in the spring, don't they? You can certainly see it. He's obviously got plenty of ability. He does need to get the jumping right, though. I mean, I don't... I'm not sure you can teach a horse to jump badly to get a handicap mark. You know what I mean? It's a
no. I'm not saying you teach it, but I just think if you've got it in the back of your head, this is a learning experience. You're probably riding the horse differently, aren't you?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, running at a lower level, he's got a chance. I can see that. I can certainly see the case for it. I mean, David's well is a youngster on a roll, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, and he's come from a break, and his trainer's on a roll as well. I think 30% strike rate since September, absolutely flying, Chris Gordon. But I went for the old man at the party. I just thought he was a big price because Gunsight Ridge, I was totally shocked that they made him joint favourite for a veterans chase in soft ground over 2.5 mile last time, because he never ever looked like he stayed 2.5 mile and did exactly what pretty much, you know, he's always done when he did. He travelled really, really well into the race and then got knackered as they turned it in the straight. I don't think he ran that badly at all. I think he travelled very strongly. I know he's 10, but his two runs last year were his two previous runs at 2 mile last season were two of the best of his life. And, you know, winning at Sandown, where he does go well and where a race is coming up next month.
And he could have won
in the Red Run.
Well, and he also could have. He was.
Oh, he may well have got to Martyr Tour if he hadn't come down the last here on decent ground. So, yeah, he handles any ground.
Yeah.
And just runs the course really well. So I just thought he was too big of a price. You know, if he was, you know, 7-2 joint favourite to win a race, it's certainly no worse than this, even if they were older. Like, you know what I mean? And, you know, he's twice the price here.
All right.
I'll give him a shout.
So the old man of the party is going for the old man of the party.
Oh, come on. Low-hanging fruit, Ross.
Yeah, no, sorry.
Kiehl's does love a well-handicapped veteran, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. That is true. But a youngster on a roll, David's well, and Robbie Wilders.
32. Is that young? Let's call it young.
Let's call it young, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you go back to 32 kills if you could?
Stone. I can't even remember what happened when I was 32.
It was 1 minute ago. Yeah. It was 1 minute ago. David's well in the chat. Yeah. Paul Tolliver says, David's well is a massive lay. He'd beat absolutely nothing at Haydock. Which is it's a fair point.
Well, Robbie David will be well if David's well wins. Because I'm on this.
What?
Mouthful, isn't it?
Robbie David. Well,
that's my main name is David, yeah.
Ah, okay, that makes sense.
Robbie David will be well.
We didn't have the context for that.
Okay.
It's just a tired...
Warn us next time.
Yeah. Did you do the pre-show reading, Kiehl's?
I like David as well. This person slagging off David, what did he beat? Well, he beat a very well-batched Harry Durham horse in a track record time, no less. On his reappearance.
Okay.
So he's just, like Kiehl says, he's just on a roll. He's won three on the spin. He merits a rising grade and he's getting in and off no weight on his back with Harry Cobden on. Don't see how you can't like him. I mean, a bit of the juice has gone from the start of the week. He was 5-1, he's 5-2 now, but that's how I'd prefer to have priced him at the start of the week. I think he's interesting and the likeliest winner.
Yeah, and Cobden on a bold, prominent racing, attacking rider of offences at Cheltenham.
That's what I was going to say as well. He's a prominent racer. And we love those chases, don't we, Ross, at Cheltenham?
Yeah. Oh, and Cobden's so good at it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
He's really, really good at it.
Yeah.
Accelero is 130. Anything else that we should... I mean, JPR 1, obviously, we're talking about previously classy horses. He's down to a reasonable mark.
Yeah, I mean, he looked like winning here once, didn't he? Fell. But it's two runs at Cheltenham since have been dreadful, haven't they?
Yeah.
That just worried me.
Yeah,
and he obviously can handle the track, though.
And he doesn't. I mean, obviously, he beat Jello at Exeter a year ago, and since then, it's been. Oh. It's the problem with the horses like that, is it? Because you do have your day, and then you get catapulted into the grades that you can't win in.
Yeah.
And then you come back down, and you have your day again.
Yep. We like a classy top weight, but not when they look like that. To me, this is his level. I don't think he can really improve much from 1.53.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Yeah.
I don't think he's well handicapped.
Yeah.
Fair enough. He could run well.
Let's have a look. What else have we got? Locranza says this is a nightmare card. Haven't got one confident bet. Laying Jaguar is all that I have got. And that's about it then. And obviously, like I said, we talked about when Graham was on the last time we had a race of this nature. Horses having their day. There are a few in here. You know, your Sambri.
Yeah, but his day's in April, isn't it? Yeah. Aintree.
Yeah. Exactly.
He's got to work his way back down to 130, I think.
Yeah. Albeit Go Dante did me with that theory last week, annoyingly. So it's not his day. Oh, maybe it is. Right, back to Doncaster we go. A mare's hurdle here over 3 miles. Listed at contests. And a bit of deja vu here because when we were previewing this race last year, we had a short price Skelton runner that everyone was keen to take on, worried about maybe trip and form and so on and so forth. And we've got another one here in the shape of Katira, who's 8-15. World of Fortune, 7-2. La Vida Adiva is 9-1. Bethpage, 10s. Malta Bene, 22s. And it's a shame Heather Honey isn't going, as she would have had a little bit of a chance of outrunning her odds, perhaps, for a yard who were in form. But yeah, Katira, again, obviously, she's the class act of this race. She is rated, what, £8 superior to her nearest rival in World of Fortunes. The Skelton team are on fire. She ran a cracker last time out behind Wadoo at Ascot. But, yeah, she's just got that kind of profile where you think she might well win. But
Not sure. I think, no, I'm not sure that she's got that sort of profile. I just think she'll win.
Oh, you do think she'll win?
I mean, West Balboa was the man that ran it last year, and she came in shocking form, whereas Katir was thrashed and obviously wrong Golden Ace, but then run really well in a good race at Ascot afterwards. So she comes in here in form. Personally, I think it's probably just another £20,000 in the bag for Dan Skelton.
I thought she got outstayed by Jatara over the C&D back in January, and I just wonder, she just has a profile of, she'll come there swinging. I just wonder whether something will just grind it out.
But she's run some really good races at 3 miles as well, hasn't she? And she's just better than them, I think, and that's the and that's where it is. I'm not by any stretch saying that you should be lumping on it 4-7, because I don't do that and won't be doing it myself, but I don't see what's going to beat her, so I'm not going to get involved. It's, you know, the least interesting race of the day. As the guy said earlier, mare's races are boring. This one actually is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, again, apart from the fact that I do kind of want to take her on, so then it gets interesting when I see an odds-on shot and I think, oh, I want to take her on. Then it gets interesting. The problem is...
With what?
Well, this is the thing, and I really fancied Ottozini in this last year, and then because of the front-running angle, and they smashed Why Not, and Why Not got the perfect ride into it. So... I do think La Vida Adiva is a little bit interesting for Ruth Jefferson. I mean, obviously, again, but racing, it's just daft, isn't it? I mean, because you're saying a horse who's just been beaten off 130 twice in handicap hurdles can beat a horse rated a stone superior. So, again, if you're going purely on ratings, but I quite liked her last year, and she did a similar thing. She beat better horses at Kelso in a similar race to those back in March. So I think she's got a bit of a squeak.
Yeah, true. She always gets held up, doesn't she? As well,
she got held up. Yeah, she does. Yeah,
what's going to make the run in there?
Maybe Irish Rather horse. Fortunes.
Yeah, maybe the Irish horse. What's the stable switch? Presumably, that's just a relative. The stable switch. I don't know anything about J.W. Kenny. If you're watching,
he's not had a runner from what
debut runner.
But obviously, like you said, it is gone from Liam Kenny to J.W. Kenny. So I presume it's a
relative.
It would be surprising. It would be a right coincidence.
Things happen. But yeah, I mean, the horse has obviously won here before, but I just thought Katira would be a class apart. She's not really a 3-miler. Doesn't really have to be to win this.
Yeah, but I felt... Yeah. But then that's
the... Just hold on to her for ages and then just get her to win like cosy right at the end.
Yeah.
She's not going to come off the bridle, I'd say.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. I mean, again, the angle partly is maybe just waiting to see what does jump off in front.
Yeah, in running.
Because that's the thing, when you've got a horse like Katira who comes there swinging, it's often the one off the bridle in front that beats it, because they just keep grinding. But you don't know what that's going to be.
No, it's the conundrum.
It is a conundrum. Katira for Darren Ewan, and that's about it. Katira on the steel, says Liam as well. And Eden says fancied La Vida to get second but was much bigger a few days ago. But I'll be maybe a little bit of win, a little bit without the favourite on La Vida Adiva, perhaps. Let's get tricky about it, shall we? Over to Cheltenham for the Albert Bartlett, or the Bristol Novices Hurdle, if you prefer. Conman John, 7-4. They Call Me Hugo, 130. Reckless Spending, 7-2. Carlum Rig, 11-2. Casino de Mott is 12-1. Big Cadillac, 22s. And Into Something Good is the 33-1 outsider of the bunch. In theory, this should be a springboard to turning up at Cheltenham in March, given this is a Grade 2, but it hasn't really turned out that way over the past few seasons, mainly because there's not 38 Irish horses coming in to throw their hat into the ring here. But with a hoisin you're on the downgrade, it appears rather coincidental that owner and trainers have found an almost identical replica to replace him.
Absolutely. You see his head carriage last time. Yeah. Right, hanging in, but showing a huge amount of talent at the same time.
Yep.
He's a fascinating horse. I mean, I think he'd probably win. I mean, the fact that Lucinda Russell seems to really rate him as well, because she said last time, she said, we've been working backwards from the Albert Bartlett. That's where he was going to go. So they know he's pretty decent. And now he did get his own way up in front, but he didn't half win easily. But he had that something about him, I think, that suggested he is pretty good.
Yeah.
And, again, I don't bet these prices. I'll watch it. I'd like to see him win, because I like it when Britain goes in as a few decent hurdlers to take on the Irish with. Doesn't happen. Don't get that many these days, do we? But if we could have two or three in each race, it'd be nice for once, wouldn't it?
I mean, at this rate, if Common John does bolt up, it might be insane that all three novice hurdlers have got British favourites.
Well, different British favourites, because I think No Diamond Drama this end is actually favourite for both, isn't he, at the moment. But it would be fascinating, wouldn't it? But obviously it won't last long, because we've got the DRF to come, and, as I said today, and the Willie Mullins will have 30 horses in each when the entries are made in January. But
it's highly likely.
It's nice to see a few good ones, and he might be one.
But it's highly likely that all those three novice hurdles will be won by horses who go off 6-4, but are right now about 25-1, and we haven't seen them strut their stuff.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah. But do you think he'll follow up tomorrow?
I wouldn't say for sure, because we know so little about them. I mean, they call me Hugo's only won, a Foss last maiden, but did it well. On Racing Post ratings, he's identical. And there's nothing between them. And Reckless Spending was only third of four at Ascot last time, but showed a fair bit. Nicky Anderson's beginning to ramp it up a little bit, isn't he? I'm not saying I'd be lumping on. Too many unknowns for me. But on RPRs, there's not much between a few of them. And one of them, into something good on his best form, is only a couple of pound off, and he's a 33 chance. I would have thought going 3 miles as a four-year-old, and he's had enough runs already. I can see why he's 33-1. I don't fancy him, but I'd hope to see something special from Common Man John, but I wouldn't rule out something else turning out to be better.
Okay, Common Man John 7-4. Both myself and Robbie like one in here, but it's after looking at the race more, I changed my mind and went for another one.
Snake.
But you.
Colin Rigg.
Yep. Well, you talk Colin Rigg.
I like Colin Rigg.
Tell me why.
I'll be having a fair each way bet on if there were eight runners or seven, frustratingly. But just thought he ran really well.
Again, surely there's Chepstow. Nobody's getting three places.
It's because it's a grade two novice rather than a handicap, isn't it?
But it's irritating, isn't it?
Come on.
You're going to have
top kits then, bookmakers, aren't
they? Yeah, honestly. Dearie,
William Hill going like 9-2 for three places, and I want a bit more juice than that, really. Yeah. But I mean, he ran really well at Chepstow. He just was never really put into a race, a slowly run race dominated by that man Sam Thomas, an odds on favourite trained by him. He was miles clear of everything else, not given a massively hard time of things over a trip that is going to be inadequate in time. He's a 3 mile point to point winner. And the fifth, who was about 20 lengths back, has come out and won by 6 lengths next time. So I thought he was fairly priced for, one of the best trainers of a novice hurdler around, in Britain at least.
Yeah.
In Britain at least. So, I thought it was juicing that. Common Man John is the right favourite, but don't know exactly what he beat at Cheltenham last time. He's penalised. It's just not really for me at those odds, but it wouldn't surprise you if he won by 5 lengths at the same time.
Yeah, but you're right. But again, he's priced up as if he's just going to go and do it again, but there are at least three horses who have huge amounts of improvement.
Yeah, it's just the unknown quantity factor, so I just wouldn't be rushing for those sort of odds.
I jumped ship because I looked at the speed figures and I started watching the replays back of the rest as well, and I like this Reckless Spending.
Oh yeah?
The time was good. Mm-hmm. The winner's good. The winner was beaten in that half-decent race behind the Pipe Horse, was beaten today, but Modern Man, who was in third, came out and bolted up. But it's good form, and he just had it. I don't know, just watch it back. You know, you have that bell go off, and you're okay, this horse has got a ton of ability, but he's big, he's raw, he's not got the pace really for 2 or 3.5 round Ascot. And he was just being nudged and nudged, and he was eating up the ground on the home straight, but barely being asked to do so. Mm. And he looked all over the type of horse that if he comes off the bridle at, you know, 2.5, 3 furlongs from home at Cheltenham, I'm going to be like, I know he's just going to keep rolling and rolling and rolling. Like you said, Henderson is really clicking. He had a really impressive win in the first. He also had a hurdle of win over at Doncaster.
Yeah, Mr. Coffey obviously ran well.
Yeah, Mr. Coffey as well.
We're done with him.
Obviously. Laughing John won at Doncaster today.
Would you be happy with sort of the quotes out there, best price 9-2, 4-1? Would you be happy with that?
For reckless bet? Well, the thing, look, again, we're talking about
7-2 in most places.
The ones who are going to find a bit more, I just, it's one of those ones where I think, okay, he has got half a stone minimum improvement in him going up in trip and actually being second run of a hurdles and actually being properly put to the test. And bearing in mind, you know, it's a big ask. You've gone from third in a bumper, third in a novice hurdle, straight up 3 miles, straight into a grade two. Anyone else, you think that was a bit bonkers, but Henderson doesn't really do that.
True enough. And, you know, he could have stumbled upon quite a weak grade two if Conman John isn't the horse they think he is. Yeah. So
I just liked it. I just watched it. I thought, crikey, there's more to come there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, you make a good cash.
I think he's got a chance. Good chance. Reckless betting for Paul Stokes. Tommy Daniels thought Conman John will be closer to evens and the C&D form is significant. Right. A couple more races for you then. Rattling back to Doncaster for a 2 mile handicap hurdle here, the 3.17, and Beaumont is 5-2 market leader here, Lanesborough 100-30, Amancio 9-2, Willie the Builder is 5-1, Washington is 7-1, Belle Legrand is 10-1, and it's 22 bar those with Cormier and Ballistic running over hurdles. But he is a Doncaster horse, as we saw with a couple earlier on. But Beaumont bolted up last time out, but will he follow up tomorrow, Keels?
Another £10 on top, isn't it? Like, you know, I mean, it's a big ask, isn't it?
Yep.
You know, did bolt up last time though, so you know, you wouldn't put it off him. I fancied Willie the Builder.
Okay.
For Christian Williams. Now he's £7 off his peak with Dan Skelton. He's back on the same mark as when he last won, and he ran arguably as well as he ever has done when third at Windsor last time, getting, you know, closing at the line. And I just think this galloping track will suit him better than Windsor, and I just thought he'd run well. Christian Williams hasn't had a winner this month, but he's had a couple finished second recently. There's been a bit of money for him earlier on today as well, which I like with a Christian Williams horse. So I thought he might run well. I think it's a, you know, it's a fairly average race.
Yeah.
So I'd give him a chance without, you know, going massively overboard. And you mentioned Ballistic. I mean, he was completely different class of these once, and three of his best form performances and to his name over fences were on good ground on this track, weren't they? So wouldn't be surprised to see him run. Well, it wasn't that bad back over hurdles on soft ground at Weatherby last time, and you know, he'd prefer, you know, more it dries out the better. But I thought Willie the Builder for me, but yeah, it's one of the lower class races on the telly, isn't it?
Yeah, fair enough. Albeit my ears pricked up when I saw a potentially well handicapped Ben Pauling hurdler.
Yeah, you like Lanesborough, do you?
I thought Lanesborough had a chance, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, same, yeah. He was the way I was looking. His form lines haven't worked out that well, though, in particular, have they? It's just the manner of the way he did it last time.
I mean, the fourth in the race he won last time out won today, which is a...
Oh, okay, my future form tab's not updated just yet, then.
So, but it's more the manner of... And I like,
yeah, exactly.
I like the dropping back in trip. Pauling, first time out, hurdlers, prominently ridden, yep. Down in trip. Kill him from the front?
Let's hope so. I mean, it's interesting he's kept over hurdles, actually. He only made his debut on the rules about 13 months ago. Yeah. I was reading some stable tour quotes about this horse, and Paul and basically said that he wasn't going to be out until December. He's going to start the season in December. They're building towards Spring Festival handicaps, which I thought was interesting. He's only off 116. To get into those sort of races, you're probably going to need the best part of another stone on your back, aren't you? So maybe he'll get the hike he needs tomorrow.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. And the last race on the card we're going to have a look at is back at Cheltenham, and it was probably the pick of the bunch last year, wasn't it? It was an absolute crackerjack of a finish, and obviously the form was fantastic as well. It doesn't, on paper, look to be as strong this year, but Jubilee Alpha is 2-1 and has some decent form to her name, albeit she was beaten by Sweet Caroline last time out, and she's only what, £1 better off, I think, because the handicapper gave her a lump as well. And Sweet Caroline 7-2 with Shogiel at 7-2 as well. Nurse Susan 8-1, Game Colours 9s and 16-1 bar those. But yeah, that finish last year, Robbie, where Wado, Joyeuse, and Take No Chances.
What a race.
It was an absolute blinder.
Some race, no?
Again, on paper, this doesn't necessarily look as good, but I say that. But Wado was rated 130 last year and Jubilee Alpha was rated 141.
Yeah, that's my sort of way into it. Like, that sort of puts into perspective the task she has on her hands potentially. Yeah. Like, we're not saying it's going to be as strong a race, but Joyeuse is off 119 and got beaten, and she ended up running the Mayor's Hurdle. And Taino Chance as well finished third in the Mayor's Hurdle, got beaten. So it can be a very warm heat. I don't know how strong a race it is this time, but Jubilee Alpha has got a fair old mark to compete. I think Shogiel has a few pounds in hand, certainly.
Yeah. Again, apologies to all Gaelic speakers out there.
Yeah, we
is
don't.
Is that right?
Well, I prefer your attempt earlier.
Neither of them sounded right.
It's definitely not Seog.
It's not Tom Seagal, is it?
The Seagull.
It's Seagull.
Yeah. Homage to the great man on his annual leave. If he's left his house, we have no idea.
He's gone to Ireland.
Possibly.
It's the Irish Seagull.
Well, Seagull's run well up the track. In a finished second to show Sia Lynn. Another Gaelic one.
Yeah.
So he's in a listed bumper. Got that course form in the bank. That was a good run. And it's only running two handicaps. 1-1, won that race. It's always a good mare's handicap at Newbury. Won that quite impressively. Well, that favourite. And then reappeared behind Hartington with an OK effort at Carlisle. Hartington's almost won the big staying handicap on Bedford Hurdle with that Haydock. I just get the impression she's on a good mark. And she's met Jubilee Alpha before. Over 2 miles, which is short of her best, certainly, Seagull. She's £15 better off for that over the trip that she needs. I mean, sure, Jubilee Alpha's fine over 2.5 miles as well, but I think she more likely has a fair bit in hand off 1-2-3 than Jubilee Alpha does off 1-4-1. That's my way in.
Yeah. And again, I mean, look, it's, you know, Nichols is having a tough time to win a race of this nature off with a horse rated 1-4-1, giving lumps of weight away. It kind of like, these are the races he should be, 15 years ago, he's putting this to bed.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I think she is, you know, I think she's the right favourite. I think I think she has a big class edge, which is why she's got so much weight on her. And I was going to leave the race alone, because I thought, you know, I thought 2-1 is probably fair enough, and I didn't want to back anything against her, but I just looked at the times, and I think the times of the races today suggest it's going to be good ground tomorrow.
Yeah,
there isn't much good to soft in it, judging by those, particularly on the chase course, it has to be said, not the hurdles course, but they still weren't slow times by any stretch of the imagination. And pretending,
I was going to say, I want to guess what you were going to tip, because I knew you were going to go pretending.
The drier it gets, the better her chance. She's run plenty of good races around here. She absolutely hacked up one spring a couple of seasons ago when the ground was good, and she does tend to always run well. She's still a little bit above her last win in Marlborough, I think she's certainly good enough to win off that. And, you know, she's had a run, and I think 16-1, I'm sure you can you get any extra places as well? Well, one place, guy, but a bad price. But yeah, I'd rather take 16-1, three places. Looks reasonable to me.
Yeah. My only concern is that her target was that the same one in the spring again. But she was sent off 7-2 for this last year.
Yeah, absolutely. But the ground wasn't quite right, and the race was probably a fair bit better.
Well, she ran into a group one off, didn't she?
Yeah. She also ran into six others that beat her as well, to be fair. So it wasn't quite at her best, but I think the drier it gets, the better her chance will be.
Yeah. Just a quick word again on Sweet Caroline, who, you know, has gone up £5 for beating Jubilee Alpha. Jubilee Alpha went up £4 for getting beat by Sweet Caroline. It was a bold ride, but the Tizard horses keep going. Should she be?
Definitely got a chance, yeah. I mean, you'd have argued Jubilee Alpha would have won that race if she didn't get the last wrong. I don't know, we'll never know. Yeah. But definitely got a chance. She's actually drifted a bit since the price that's on screen. But I don't know though.
You don't know?
I don't know.
You just don't know.
All I know is Seagull is well handicapped.
Yeah.
And hopefully have a nice week off.
He is. Well, he's had a lot of box rest, hasn't he? That's it. He's fresh. He's good. Yeah. He's well. Yeah. When he comes into the studio after 900 days off the track, he's going to be primed.
Do you reckon he's still wearing that Calvin Klein gilet he wears every single time?
Absolutely.
Yeah. When did we start calling these things gilets? Well, it's a bloody body warmer, for God's sake.
What? Come on, Kiehl's.
Come on. Stop.
Oh, it's a gillet. It's a gillet.
It's a gillet.
A body warmer, mate.
It's a body warmer.
A gilet. No, I've been to France.
What was that, Bell? It's a vest.
It's a vest. It's a puffy vest.
It's a puffy vest. Right.
Whatever, yeah, whatever it is, he wears it a lot.
Before we get the napskills, what you said you really fancied one in the first, so the teaser.
Yeah, well, I think potentially.
This is the juvenile hurdle.
Faye Bramley trained Winston Junior. Just fascinates me running in this juvenile hurdle. Now he's a big price, and on the form of his Fontwell second, he probably deserves to be. But she'd only had him a few weeks. Gone straight from Jessica Harrington from running on the flats. She now had time to actually train him and put him over a few hurdles, and he didn't jump that badly. But I think that interests me about him too. First of all. Since that run, Ronnie Bartlett's bought into him, so they must be thinking there's something reasonable about him. Secondly, Harry Cobden's ridden three winners from four rides for Faye Bramley. Third, if this was a flat race, he would be giving £17 to the favourite and £20 to the second favourite, and he's getting £7. His best run last season was when second to Bella Bay, who ended up winning this. Going up another stone or whatever after winning the Cesarewitch. So, you know, if he can transfer that ability, he's only had one go at it. Now, the level he ran to on his first start over hurdles was no different to the level that One Horse Town and Manila Study ran to on their first starts over hurdles.
Yeah. And people always forget that. They do think, oh, he has to improve.
He's only had one go. You know what I mean? There's every chance he will improve. And I just thought it's a big price with all those things going for him. He was easily the best horse in the race. I mean, the bookies have gone, you know, they've made Arnulf third favourite for Dan Skelton. And that's because he's trained by Dan Skelton. I mean,
owned by the Rothschild Silks of Crystal Ocean, same owners as.
Yeah, I know, but he went through the ring. Unsold at £3,000 in February.
Really?
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? I mean, there have been plenty of horses that have turned out very, very good for £3,000 or less. I mean, look at Hewick. It doesn't mean he's going to be useless, but I mean, but it's a bad sign for me to start with.
But they're guessing, aren't they?
But yeah, it's a guess price. Whereas I think in turn, we know the horse with the most ability in this race is a 14 and one shot. Yeah. Whether he's got the ability over hurdles remains to be seen. But I'll give him a chance with Cobden in the saddle.
I did have two words in my head when I looked at him, though. Mm. And they were Fred and Winter.
Well, you always think that at this time of year anyway, don't you, when it comes to...
Getting a spin round here.
It comes to hurdle races, you don't know. But you'd have to run to a reasonable level just to get into the Fred Winter.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of...
And I don't think what the ones at the top have done is that good anyway.
No, you're right.
You know what I mean? It's not, you know, it's not a really, really exacting standard.
No, and it was last year, Terra Firma and Quantock Hills dead heat at 18s and 11s. It's always a bit of a chaotic race, so who knows. All right, okay, we'll get the naps after this. Okay, best bets then on another cracking Saturday. Starting off with Paul Keeley.
I actually think the best value of the day is three places, Hurricane Bay at 8-1 and the 205 at Doncaster.
All right, Hurricane Bay it is. Mr. Wilders?
3-5-5 Cheltenham, Tom Siegel. Let's do the business.
The Irish Tom Siegel?
Indeed.
Soy Gael.
It definitely ain't that.
Yeah, let's go with that.
What about you?
Well, look, it's coming up to Christmas. I've got to get the Christmas shopping in. It feels like reckless spending is right. I just really like that run at Ascot. I think there's tons more to come. And I think he's got a big chance.
Good luck to you.
Right, OK. We are going to be back on Christmas Eve at 8 a.m. Pre-recorded, don't tell Keels. There you go. So if you want to get involved in all the Christmas racing, myself, Mr. Keeley, Mr. Rodway and Mr. Wilders will be looking at 483 races between Boxing Day and New Year's Day probably. So join us for that. Like, subscribe, and thank you for watching once again. Good night.